Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
I just couldn't help it. I know I said we wouldn't be broadcasting a live news show this week, and I'd be rebroadcasting an older show, but I couldn't help. I couldn't stay away from the mic. There's some things going on, and there's quite a stir that's been kicked up over it all. There's been some things that need to be addressed. I think it's urgent. So tonight will be similar to a combo check format like we've done in the past. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt, and the voice of redoubters at heart trapped behind enemy lines in occupied territory, no matter where you might be. It's Sunday evening, December 4th already, and this is the 23rd broadcast of Radio Free Redoubt. Boy, how far we've come. We're at 60,000 page views on the blog in just about 6 months. It's amazing. Okay, first of all, we have an announcement. We came across some disturbing information on the forum this week, on the Radio Free, the American Redoubt Network forum. Someone posted a thread asking about Ann Coulter's acceptance to a position on an advisory board for the group that calls itself GOP, G-O Proud, G-O-P Proud, whatever you want to call it. It's basically a homosexual group of so-called conservatives or Republicans, whatever. I don't care. But now, when I saw the thread, and I didn't want to believe it, and I was kind of ticked off that someone would be making claims like that about, of all other people, Ann Coulter, the iconic conservative activist, no-holds-barred pit bull of the right, who backed down from no one and ate liberals for breakfast. Well, there was no documentation backing the claim up or the question that was posed on the forum. So taking it upon myself to go on a mission to dispel the vicious rumor, I discovered to my own horror that it's true. She really did it. Now, I don't know if it's some ploy to infiltrate the inner workings of the group so she can sabotage it or exploit it, but it looks like a bad, bad move on her part. And she did, in fact, accept this position with this GO Proud group on their advisory board. So as far as I'm concerned, she's lost all credibility with me. And I'm sad because I love the way she attacked. It's not my style, but I loved reading her stuff and listening to her. So now I'm in mourning. Moment of silence. Okay. The real reason I had to come on board, as most of you know, this week the Senate passed the National Defense Authorization Act, also known as the NDAA. Now, basically, the bill is primarily for military funding. At least that's my understanding of the purpose of the bill. But there's a sneaky little piece that Senators John McCain and Carl Levin, Republican and Democrat, respectively, snuck into the bill after drafting it in secret. Now, this portion of the bill provides for the indefinite detention of American citizens that the government deems an enemy, without charges and without a trial. Now, what I did was I copied a portion of Enola Gay's Liberty Alert posting from her ever-popular blog, Paratus Familia, and provided links to Paratus Familia, so you can read the posting in full over there. Plus, I added some other stuff to it. Now, you know, the scary part is, actually, there's several things that are scary about this whole thing. First, the bill passed 93-7 in the Senate. 93% of our elected senators passed the bill. Secondly, the intent of the bill is to include the homeland as part of the battlefield. Third, if you're deemed an enemy, you completely bypass the judicial system, go straight to the Department of Defense internment system for for detention and prolonged detention. No charges, no evidence, no trial, and until you're not deemed to be a threat any longer. Now, most of the senators didn't have you in mind when they voted yay for the bill. Whether you're an Occupy hippie, an anarchist, a Tea Partier, or a militia member, for most of them who gave any thought to it at all, they were thinking of some American who joins Al-Qaeda, goes to Afghanistan, and carries out jihad against American and coalition forces. I mean, at face value, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if some hippie turned Muslim from Berkeley runs off and joins Al-Qaeda, and he's engaged in operations over there, I have no problem dropping a missile on his head, or a bullet, whatever. And I truly think that's what they were thinking when they got duped into passing this bill. But ignorance is no excuse, as far as I'm concerned. It's their duty to fully contemplate their actions and the consequences of what they're voting on. Because indefinite detention without a conviction or charges or a trial, especially if you're an American citizen, that's specifically what the Constitution was put in place to prevent. And we're not talking about Afghanistan anymore. Senator Lindsey Graham said this bill will basically say in law for the first time that the homeland is part of the battlefield. And people can be imprisoned without charge or trial, American citizen or not. Another supporter, Senator Kelly Ayotte, a Republican from New Hampshire, also declared that the bill is needed because, quote, America is part of the battlefield. Okay, here's the main problem most of us have with this America is the battlefield mentality that's creeping into the mindset of our wayward leaders. It's twofold. First, our Department of Homeland Security is redefining what a terrorist is. By default, you and I are potential domestic terror threats because we're American patriots. We've covered this extensively in past broadcasts. It's not even disputable anymore. We don't have running gun battles in the streets of America with Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And what if we did? We just kill them. And if they're captured, then you try them and convict them and put them in front of a firing squad after a trial. If you didn't kill them in the firefight. Now, after the state's proven beyond a reasonable doubt with evidence in the judicial system, then you convict them, sentence them to death. Not a military tribunal, especially if the suspected terrorist is an American citizen. Now, don't get me wrong. When it comes to terrorists, I'm all for going Jack Bauer on them. At least, that's what I want to do. See, I'm torn on this. On terrorists inside America, one side of me says find them, hunt them down, execute them in their sleep, and then drop a missile on every one of their hangouts. And I'd give the same treatment to gangs and drug cartels. But on the other side of that, that's what the American Founding Fathers wanted to prevent. Not so much the government going around executing people, but the incarceration of American citizens without trial, without evidence, and especially without charges, and especially the government arbitrarily declaring people or groups of people of being the enemy. That's a powerful word for a government to use on someone, enemy, especially its citizens and especially patriots who demand the government adhere to the Constitution. I said the problem is twofold. The other fold is that your leaders want to declare the United States as part of the battlefield. You're worried about prolonged detention? You think that's the worst of it for our enemies? If our leaders want to start drifting toward that paradigm, what American soil should be considered part of the battlefield? Stop and think of what the battlefield looks like where we're fighting terrorists or the enemy overseas. So does that mean that America being included in the battlefield will only mean enemies being snatched up and whisked away to remote, secluded, and anonymous detention facilities? Or is this a package deal, all-inclusive with spec ops military raids, cordoned searches of homes, neighborhoods, and communities, checkpoints, and, God forbid, airstrikes? Is that ridiculous? What could that mean for patriots when the government continues its trend of redefining terrorists as those who homeschool, who are Tea Partiers, who have a copy of the Constitution on their desk, who vote for third-party candidates, or who call themselves oath keepers? What do they mean when they say battlefield? That's what I want to know. What comes to mind to our senators when they say they want to expand the battlefield to include America? Networks of informants, counterintelligence operations, and propaganda campaigns, public relations campaigns, in our communities? Well, that's not the real reason I wanted to jump on the microphone this evening. You guys are all reading up on that, listening to it, studying it. You know what's going on with that bill. The main point for this broadcast is to ask a question. Would Americans, military and law enforcement, participate in detaining American citizens? When Enola Gay posted the Liberty Alert, she included an article by Paul Watson from InfoWars titled, "Senate Moves to Intern Americans Without Trial." Now, Enola expressed some real and legitimate concerns about the loss of our liberties. Well, one reader responded in the comments section with a scathing rebuke against Enola for suggesting, well, hold on. Let me just read the comment. Let me read the reader's comment. And this is by an anonymous commenter who starts and ends the comment with "shame on you." So, shame on you. One week you're singing the praises of the Marines and thanking our servicemen and women. The next you are fear-mongering with the likes of Alex Jones, who clearly loathes the United States military. I would hope you read the bill for yourselves. Yeah, like you did, right? Anyway, the writer goes on. "While I don't agree with the bill," how do you know? You haven't even read it. "I am more frustrated that so many, quote, patriots who claim to be thankful of the freedoms they have due to the blood sacrifice of our military members are so quick to turn on those same heroes when any piece of legislation is on the table." Well, hold on. This is not just any piece of legislation. Anonymous, hold your britches. Okay. "Either you trust in the inherent goodness of our military members or you don't." Wow. Okay, now that's quite an assertion. It's not quite that simple, but remember that statement because I'm going to come back to it. All right, back to the commenter. "I, for one, being a veteran and being married to a godly, loving, honest military member, know that even if this bill states what you have assumed, the overwhelming majority of our selfless, courageous military members would not enforce this type of order. They would deem it unlawful. If you think those Marines you raved about last week would actually do this, then next year when your family is invited to the Marine Corps ball with all those Marines you obviously think would carry out these orders, maybe you should forego the photo op and simply decline the invitation. I mean, really, how could you trust that those fine Marines aren't going to cart you and yours off to a FEMA camp after the first waltz?" That was funny. "You're no worse than the elected officials who show up for photo ops with the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Shame on you." Again, that was from an anonymous person posting a comment in response to Enola Gay's posting of a Liberty Alert, which covered the new National Defense Appropriations Bill. All right. I'm going to come to Enola's defense on this. But more importantly, I want to shed some light on the faulty logic that the government couldn't possibly at least attempt to use our troops to detain American citizens without charges, without trial, evidence, or a conviction. There isn't anyone out there who has more respect and admiration for the heroes who are laying it all down for our nation than Enola Gay. Anyone who's followed her blog for any reasonable amount of time knows that can't be disputed. So there, she's a patriot. She loves the military. But also she's not naive. Because that's not what I really wanted to talk about either. Enola is right to express concern that our military could be used, or it's desired by our leaders that they will be used, by a tyrannous regime. And that's the direction our government is heading with breakneck speed. Now, for the preposterous statement that the commenter made, either you trust in the inherent goodness of our military members, or you don't. Okay, sorry, Anonymous, but it's not that black and white. I'm also a veteran, and I know a lot of other veterans and people who are actively right now in the military, civilians, active duty. I know law enforcement personnel. Military personnel are people. And while I have a love and respect for our military that runs so deep that I can't even express it in words, and I know that most of them are patriots who are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice in defense of you, me, our nation, and the Constitution that they took an oath to defend. I also know of a couple of other things. There are also a lot of people in the military who aren't there to serve anything or anyone but themselves, just like people you would find working anywhere else. And their motives are driven by personal interest, even at the expense of others. But those even among the ranks that I consider to be evil, willing to carry out evil or violate their oaths willingly, would be extremely rare. This is the part that I hate to admit, though. Military personnel, police, and those who have allowed themselves to be used as instruments of tyranny have historically considered themselves to be inherently good people. And prior to the violating event, they would swear they would never harm a countryman, even if ordered to. But the history books are replete with examples of tyrants using its own military, its police, its clergy, its citizens, to carry out tyranny and oppression against their own countrymen, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dead citizens around the world. Since we know this, if we call ourselves guardians of liberty, freedom, and Americans, we have to be suspicious of anyone with the power to become tyrants, especially when they move to grant power to themselves that goes beyond the scope of and the limitations to authority and power granted to them by the Constitution. What this NDAA bill proposes is clearly, brazenly, defiantly a violation of the United States Constitution. That alone should send up red flags and outcry from every American citizen. There is no doubt in my mind there are people in the military and law enforcement personnel who would never carry out an order in violation of the Constitution and never detain their fellow American citizens. We call them patriots. We call them oath keepers. But there are those who not only would, but who will. How do I know that? Well, I know human nature. But don't just trust my gut. Stick around and I'll give you some evidence. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be right back.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Redoubt blog to learn more.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
All right, we're back from the break. This is John Jacob Schmidt at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Radio Free Redoubt. Now, there are three categories. First, those who would follow all orders, even orders to round up and detain Americans illegally, in violation of their oath to defend the Constitution and the Constitution itself. We call those traitors and willing instruments of tyranny. Now, secondly, there are those who would defy orders to round up American citizens. They would refuse to follow such orders. They would challenge the legality of those issuing the orders, and if push comes to shove, will join American citizens in resisting such orders, helping to bring the traitors to justice. We call those oath keepers. Now, the third category is the inherently good person, which is about 80% of the people out there. When asked if they would ever hurt another human being, they would adamantly say, of course not. And when asked if they would hurt someone if they were ordered to, still the answer is no. But scientific studies and history show otherwise. Now, it's true. Many in the military can easily and honestly say they would never participate in rounding up Americans without trial, charges, or a conviction for an indefinite period of time. That's because approximately 2/3 to 3/4 of the personnel in the military are support personnel. Cooks, mechanics, supply, logistics, medical support, dental assistance, so on. Now, for those conducting operations, how many of those would follow orders to detain or harm Americans? Let me introduce you to a study called the Milgram Experiment. It was a psychological experiment conducted in 1961 by a Yale University professor named Milgram. What they did was they took some volunteers and told them in this study they would be playing the role of teacher. And the experiment was to study the effects of learning through negative reinforcement, an electrical shock in this case. But really, that's not what the experiment was about. So under the supervision of a professor, these, quote, teachers would ask the other volunteer in the next room, who was actually an actor, unbeknownst to the volunteer playing the teacher, would ask him a question. If the respondent got the answer wrong, the teacher was directed to deliver an electric shock to the respondent. Now, as the questions progressed, and each time the respondent got another question wrong, the voltage would be increased by 15 volts until reaching a fatal 450 volts. Now, when the teacher pushed the shock button, the respondent would say, "Ouch!" in the next room. And the teacher, they'd cringe, but they actually thought they were shocking the person on the other side. Now, each time, the voltage would increase, and the respondent would yell louder until eventually they'd be screaming and banging on the wall, and then they would go silent. Now, eventually, the voltage reached a point that would be fatal if it were real, and the teacher thought the shock was real. And even though they were reluctant to do it and even agonized over pushing the button, they continued pushing the button when prompted by the facilitator of the experiment. And here's how it worked. And I posted it on the highlights and resources page for today's show, week 23. You got to see this stuff. The one I posted is a BBC documentary from 2002 where they replicated the experiment and got the same results, actually scarier. But here's how it worked. The subjects believed that for each wrong answer, the learner was receiving actual shocks. In reality, there were no shocks. After the Confederate was separated from the subject, that's the teacher and the person getting shocked, the Confederate set up a tape recorder integrated with the electroshock generator, which played pre-recorded sounds for each shock level. Okay, now, that's the facilitator, right? The Confederate. That's the professor that's overseeing all this. Now, after a number of voltage level increases, the actor started to bang on the wall that separated him from the subject, which is the teacher. After several times banging on the wall and complaining about his heart condition, all responses by the learner would cease. At this point, many people indicated their desire to stop the experiment and check on the learner. Now, some test subjects paused at 135 volts and began to question the purpose of the experiment. Most continued after being assured that they would not be held responsible. Did you key in on that? These guys don't want to continue shocking this other person, approaching fatal voltage shocks. But they continued when they were assured they would not be held responsible. A few subjects began to laugh nervously or exhibit other signs of extreme stress once they heard the screams of pain coming from the learner, which is all fake, of course, but this is cool. If at any time the subject indicated his desire to halt the experiment, he was given a succession of verbal prods by the experimenter, the guy running the facilitator, in this order. 1, please continue. The second time, the experiment requires that you continue. And 3, it's absolutely essential that you continue. And 4, you have no other choice. You must go on. Now, if the subject still wished to stop after all 4 successive verbal prods, the experiment was halted. Otherwise, it was halted after the subject had given the maximum 450-volt shock 3 times in succession. The experimental also gave special prods. So if the teacher made specific comments, like if the teacher asked whether the learner might suffer permanent physical harm, the experimenter, the facilitator guy, the professor, he would say, although the shocks may be painful, there is no permanent tissue damage, so please go on. Now, if the teacher said that the learner clearly wants to stop, the experimenter would reply, whether the learner likes it or not, you must go on until he has learned all the word pairs correctly. So please, go on. Now, in Milgram's first set of experiments, 65%, that's 26 people out of 40 of the experiment participants, administered the experiment's final massive 450-volt fatal shock, though many were very uncomfortable doing so. When the BBC replicated the experiment, the results were even more disturbing. And this experiment has been recreated many times, and every time with the same alarming results. Milgram's observations are very telling. He says, ordinary people simply doing their jobs and without any particular hostility on their part can become agents in a terrible, destructive process. Moreover, even when the destructive effects of their work become patently clear and they are asked to carry out actions incompatible with fundamental standards of morality, relatively few people have the resources needed to resist authority. In other words, people will do what they are told in the majority of the time, even when they know it's evil. And the key factor here with all these experiments is authority. There have been so many studies on this, it's mind-boggling every time. You really need to read up on this stuff, especially if you think, this is America, that could never happen here. Maybe not your son or daughter, if they're in the military. Maybe you raised them right. Maybe they're oath keepers. Let's hope so. In all cases and studies on this, the majority of people will do something they know is wrong if they are told that it's okay by an authority figure. Even when protesting orders, when the superior or the one in authority persists, the subordinate reluctantly carries out the commands anyway. And we're living in a culture where our young men and women are coming out of a public school system, an indoctrination system is really what it is, that's been teaching them all their lives that there's no God, that there are no moral absolutes, that the state is the savior and provider, and anyone who holds on to the principles this country was founded on is probably a little on the extreme side. And now we have openly accepted homosexuality in our culture and in our community, our military, as a result of decades of indoctrination of our youth. The product of all that, what I just mentioned, is what's making up our military today. Increasingly so. Don't get me wrong. I love our military and our service members. If you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know that's true. But I'm also not naive. And back to the question of either you believe in the inherent goodness of our military or you don't. Or that wasn't a question, it was a statement. We as humans are not inherently good. We are inherently evil. It's our sinful nature. But we have a God consciousness. And that's the thing that says, I shouldn't be shocking this person. Something about it just isn't right. But then they continue to follow the orders anyway. You really, really need to go through the material I've put up on the highlights and resources posting for this week, for week 23. You have to learn this stuff. You have to know the reality of what we could be facing in this country. They're maneuvering to try to use our military against American citizens. And sadly, some of those people, when ordered, will carry out those orders, whether you want to believe it or not, whether the thought of that makes you mad or not. Another experiment called the Hoffling Hospital Experiment, where 22 nurses were polled, and they were asked if they would follow a doctor's orders to give a patient a dosage of medicine that the nurse knew would result in an overdose. All of them said absolutely they would not follow the order. Then, in the actual experiment, where a fake made-up drug was used, the doctor prescribed a drug that the nurses thought was real. And knowing the prescribed dosage would result in an overdose, 21 of the 22 nurses followed through with the doctor's orders. Actually, they were stopped just before they could administer the medicine. Why did these nurses do it, even though they knew it was wrong? The person in authority over them told them it was okay to do it. Scary, huh? Another study was the Stanford University's prison experiment. Very popular one, infamous. It's a study that showed how people act when put in authority over others, what they'll do to others when they feel authorized, and even scarier, the methods they devise on their own, the mistreatment someone's willing to carry out against another fellow human being, and how they'll go as far as possible to the edge without actually breaking the rules. You want to see examples of people inflicting harm, not to mention willing to detain fellow countrymen? Because they were not simply told that person's bad. How about Stalin's Soviet Union? How about Nazi Germany, Uganda, Rwanda, Somalia, North Korea, China, the Middle East? Go on and on. Countrymen inflicting terror on their fellow countrymen when ordered. Yeah, but that's over there. This is America. Yep, and America has people. And wherever there's people, there's problems. Just the way it is. Need proof? Read up on the internment of tens of thousands of Japanese Americans and German Americans. It's all there. And it's indisputable. Yeah, but that was a time of war. That was World War II. Yep. But what about the bonus army, World War I veterans who returned to the United States, living here now as veterans? They were told they would be getting a lump sum bonus by the government for everyone who served during World War I. Well, when the veterans asked for the money in 1932, ahead of schedule, the government said no. So the veterans marched on Washington and set up encampments, kind of like the Occupy crowd, only they were orderly. They had their families with them, these little makeshift shanty towns that they built around the Capitol. And remember, this was during the Depression, and these guys were hurting financially. They had bonuses coming to them, and they said, hey, we don't need the bonuses 10 years from now. We need it now. The government gave them the thumbs up and said they'd pass the bill, and then voted it down. They crawfished. Now, a month later, after an incident with shots fired, President Hoover ordered the army to clear out the veterans. Infantry and cavalry, supported by 6 tanks, were dispatched with Chiefs of Staff General Douglas MacArthur in command. Major Dwight D. Eisenhower served as his liaison with Washington police, and Major George Patton led the cavalry against veterans. By 4:45 p.m., the troops were massed on Pennsylvania Avenue below the Capitol. Thousands of civil service employees spilled out of work and lined the streets to watch. The veterans, assuming the military display was in their honor, cheered. Suddenly, Patton's troopers turned and charged. Shame, shame, the spectators cried. Soldiers with fixed bayonets followed, hurling tear gas into the crowd of veterans and their families. By nightfall, the Bonus Expeditionary Force, as the veterans called themselves, had retreated across the Anacostia River, where Hoover ordered MacArthur to stop. Ignoring the command, the general, MacArthur, led his infantry to the main camp. By early morning, the 10,000 inhabitants were routed out of the camp, and the camp was in flames. Two babies died, and nearby hospitals were overwhelmed with casualties. Eisenhower later wrote, "The whole scene was pitiful. The veterans were ragged, ill-fed, and felt themselves badly abused. To suddenly see the whole encampment going up in flames just added to the pity." If you think there are people, ordinary, inherently good people out there who wouldn't arrest you, detain you, violate their oath and the Constitution, you need a dose of reality. Many, many people in our military absolutely would not follow such orders. Many of them, thank God, are oath keepers. Some of them, if polled, would say they would never follow illegal orders. But when they're ordered to by a superior, there's a disturbing number who will do what they're told. Some will come around and they'll do the right thing with some simple reminding. That's all. Why am I telling you all this? Why did I have to come on the air when I wasn't even scheduled to be on tonight? Because I don't want you to be stunned to inaction because you never thought it could be possible that your own countrymen could ever do you harm. That theory has been blown out of the water thousands of times just in recent history. I mean, there's tons more examples. I could go on and on. Secondly, if you have young men and women who are considering joining the military, make sure you're raising them to be oath keepers and face the reality that someone, enemies of this country and enemies to your values, plan on using your sons and daughters against you if you don't toe the party line, comrade. Third, if you have children in the military already, remind them of how proud of them you are and remind them of their oath and to be oath keepers. If they're ever faced with that most frightening of all prospects, having to choose between following an illegal order to go against one's own countrymen or defy those orders and resist tyranny. Fourth, if you're in the military or law enforcement, I would like to remind you, out of my love and respect for you and what you do, that you took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And you need to be very clear on where you stand on the issues, because in the future you may have a serious decision to make, a crossroads. I urge you to be an oath keeper, a guardian, the one who stands in the gap and is vigilant. Okay, I'd like to talk about this stuff a lot more in future broadcasts. It's really important stuff. And I got to run for now. I know it's not a normally scheduled broadcast, but I couldn't let this topic go. I had to address this, and we're going to come back to it. So anyway, God bless all of you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and all of those of you who are serving in uniform. You're in our thoughts and prayers. We're not going to be doing a post-broadcast airing tonight, but I'm going to try to get this uploaded to the Podbean player just as quick as I can. So join us next week as we get into the topic of the EMP threat and the cyber threat. Lots to cover on that. That might have to end up being a two-part series. But we got a very special thing coming up here in a few weeks. I don't want to blow it. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's going to be really cool. You're not going to want to miss it. Lots to cover on all that stuff. It's just going to be great. So anyway, it's good to have a heads up on all the stuff that's going on, the EMP, the cyber threat, a lot of moving parts. Anyway, I'll let you guys go. You have a great week, and may the Lord richly bless you and continue to bless your plans to move to the Redoubt. Welcome, by the way, several of you emailed saying you are here at the Redoubt. You just relocated, or you're doing so in the next few weeks, or the next 4 to 6 weeks. Congratulations and welcome. Glad to have you with us. We are blessed to have you with us. This is John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.